A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. He shall from time to time give to Congress information of the State of the Union, and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. This article from the United States Constitution directs the President of the United States to keep Congress informed on matters regarding the country. Known as the State of the Union Address, it invites the President to give an accounting of what is happening in the land. The United States is by no means the only country that does this. Countries that have monarchies also provide speeches of the throne. And even other institutions have begun to offer such accountings to their constituents. Principals or heads of school give state of the school presentations. And some religious organizations offer state of the congregation addresses. On the one hand, these accounts are an evaluation of what has been. On the other hand, they provide direction for what could be. Ultimately, they are opportunities for the leaders of countries, schools, or congregations to articulate how they have taken responsibility for the tasks with which they have been entrusted. Today's gospel invites us to an accounting of the state of our heart as we stand before God. How would we articulate the responsibility we have taken for the task with which we have been entrusted? In the parable, Jesus provides us two portraits of individuals revealing the states of their hearts. The first is the Pharisee, the scholar of the law, who proudly and boldly presents himself almost as a model of perfection. But as we listen to his prayer, we have the sense that he's more intent on what he does rather than who he is, especially in relationship to others. I thank you, God, that I'm not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast and I pay tithes. In truth, these actions are good things. Clearly, he's following the law. However, he's lost sight of the purpose of the law in his rigid observance of it. The law was meant to foster the chosen people's relationships with God and with others. However, the Pharisee's prayer to himself, as Jesus mentions, demonstrates the disconnection from others and even from God. The tax collector, however, doesn't go into any detail about his actions, but reveals the state of his heart before God with a spirit of simplicity and humility. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In his behavior, not even raising his eyes to heaven and beating his breast, and in this one plea, have mercy on me, God. he demonstrates the heartfelt brokenness of his relationships with God and with others. How do we stand before God, revealing the states of our hearts? We have been given a great task by virtue of our baptism. Christ has entrusted us with his very life, and being made in the image and likeness of God, we're called to reflect and to be that image of God towards others. Like the Pharisee, I suggest that it is good to identify what we have done in bringing about God's reign with every act of compassion, mercy, love, and forgiveness. But we cannot forget that it's God's mercy, God's compassion, love, and forgiveness that we offer, not our own. Our prayer then should reflect our gratitude for the opportunities we have to bring Christ to life into our very midst. If we're honest with ourselves, though, a true accounting of the state of our hearts includes an acknowledgement of where we have missed the mark, of the ways we have been less than who we're called to be, of how we have not been responsible with what's been entrusted to us. But this is where we tend to get rather uncomfortable, because it's not easy to admit how and where and when we have failed to ourselves, let alone to others or to God. We might find comfort, though, in the 14th century English mystic Julian of Norwich, who taught that sin is necessary. This teaching may surprise us, but Julian understood that it is only in our recognition and admission of ourselves as sinners that we can come to fully know the mercy, love, and forgiveness of God. Now, this knowledge isn't meant to give us permission to lead hedonistic lifestyles, but hopefully it gives us the courage to stand humbly and vulnerably and so simply before our God and speak the truth of who we are, in gratitude for all of our grace-filled moments, and perhaps especially in sorrow for all of our brokenness. The season of Lent offers us the opportunity to give our state of the heart address to our God. As risky as it can be to so starkly reveal ourselves to God, such truth-telling bespeaks our desire for the transformative compassion of our God. It is a proclamation in our belief that with Christ and in Christ, we can be better than what we have been. It is a bold assertion in our hope that the mercy we long for from our God is what our God, who is mercy, longs to shower upon us in abundance. This response to our state of the heart address is purely and simply gift and blessing given to us. It is nothing less than cause for celebration. And what better way to celebrate than to bountifully share with others the very gift and blessing we have been given?